How's everybody?
Hey, everybody looks good.
Don't look confused. I'm confused as well. Okay, just bear with me. A month or so ago, I challenged Donna Stretch. I said, we got to be stretched. She played the guitar. So she sent it back, and she said, you play the piano.
Good job.
I'll never claim to be a piano player, but it just goes to show you, no matter what we do, we praise the Lord with what we got. What's ever in our hearts, it's so important that we do this. The whole thing is that we're supposed to partner as far as our time on earth. We're not here just to bide time and wait till we die, but we're here to partnership with Jesus. And that's what the whole thing is. In partnership with Him and make this world a better place. And I just want to honor the Lord right now. Just something simple. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Sing with the angels.
You are holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. We exalt thee. We exalt. Years back, I had a time with the Lord, and through this, He inspired me to write this song, and we like to kind of do an acoustic version of it. It's something that's a video out, and it's more upbeat, but we want to kind of slow it down. But the song talks about that He has come. He is the light of the world. He has come to bring light to a burdened world. And, you know, behold the Lamb that takes our sins away, that went to the cross, that we can live. Yep. You know, and there's always one good thing. One of the lines says, who gives life with our impossible days. Yep. We've got a lot of impossible days. But But if we have him and we know he's with us, them days will be taken care of.
That's right.
Welcome. Good evening. It is so good to see you. So glad that you're here with us. You know, the great thing about being the pastor of a church, one of many, is I can make decisions that I hope benefit everyone. And we had planned to have this last Friday, but you know, I looked outside and I thought, I don't want these good people going out tonight. And so I made a decision to have it this week, and so we could come together on a beautiful evening and just enjoy celebrating Jesus. And I think I am still well within the parameters of a Christmas service. Am I not? This still counts as a Christmas service. So we are so delighted that you are here this evening. We're going to worship God this evening through music. The worship team is going to be leading us in a number of songs that you're very familiar with, some that you aren't. And so you can sing along or you can just sit and listen and be blessed by that. We're going to fellowship together as we always do. And I want to share just a brief word with you before we conclude our time together tonight. But we are just here for one purpose, and that is to worship God in gratitude for the gift of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's pray together and offer this time to Him. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the privilege of coming here. Again, God, I remind us so often that there are many places around the world where we could not do this without fear. Fear of arrest and of persecution. Fear of death in many places. God, I pray that we would always keep that in mind, that we are blessed in this nation. Father, I pray that as we are coming before you tonight, that as we've celebrated the Christmas day, all of the decorations and the things that are still all around us, the beauty of them, may we never lose sight of the reason why we celebrate. It is because of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we sing, as we fellowship, as we pray, as we go into your word, I pray, God, that everything that is done here this evening would be an offering to you. Thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Charlie Brown on the TV screen, hugs from friends and family, that's what we need right now. Buttons on a winter coat, truck tires down a snowy road, that's the sound of coming home, that's what we need right now. This world could use a little healing, our hearts could surely use something to believe in.
Christmas, come on December, help us remember. Luke 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Comes up with them keys.
Who am I?
Amen. Amen. Well, there are a number of things that we do here at Remnant Life, and if you don't attend here regularly, it may seem a little bit strange. As you get to know us, that won't be a big surprise. But one of the things that we do in every one of our services, and we have done this since our very first, is we take a few minutes in the middle of the service just to stop and to fellowship together. Now, normally we'll do that for, depending on how many people and what's going on, we'll do that for a while. Tonight is going to be much more abbreviated. But I want to give you an opportunity to stand, to greet some people around you. I guarantee you there are people here, you do not know their name. So the way you fix that is you walk up and you say, "Hi, I'm Dave. What's your name?"
Tara.
This is Tara. Now I know Tara. And Miles just walked in, which is another great thing. So right before the fellowship time, Miles always knows when to show up. That's right. Over there. Let me tell you, though, why we do this. Because this was something that God seeded into my heart from the very beginning of this church. I have been and attended large churches. And one of the things that I discovered, because I was also on staff of one, it is possible for people to come in late and leave before it's over. Nobody sees them. They can get in and get out with nobody making contact with them. That's not only bad for them, it's bad for the church. So we can know who people are. You don't get that chance here. We're going to see you. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to grab you, but so is everybody else. So let's take a few minutes, and we'll come back. I'll come back up, and I'll ask you to come back to your seats, and then we'll continue our service. Start to make your way back to your seats for me.
Seasons may change, passions may fade, but one thing.
That's where I'll be. Oh, where's the phone? There are a couple of things that I would like to share with you before we resume our service together. Not everyone does this, but if you use your gifts to Remnant Life as a part of your taxes, and that's completely up to you, this is the last day, plus tomorrow, for you to be able to do that for this calendar year, so we just want to make you aware of that as a part of our responsibility to you. And of course, you will receive your tax forms and all of that from us in the first part of the year. At Remnant Life Church, we like to celebrate people. And Dawn had a birthday. And how lousy is it to have a birthday around Christmas time? That just is the worst. But December 20 was Dawn's birthday, so happy birthday to you, young lady. And he thinks he's getting away with it, but now he's pretty sure he's not. Jeff Bean has a birthday tomorrow, so we just need to make sure that... So, as we continue to celebrate together, and if you have also, if you had brought a giant card for Lenny Hoppe, we have been... praying. This is a young man that, or he's probably not that young anymore, is he, Dave? He's not quite that young. Lenny is dealing with cancer and is dealing with all of the issues of that, and it's ravaging his body pretty significantly. That doesn't mean we're giving up praying for him or believing in healing, but we want to help him out. And so if you had brought a giant gift card for Lenny to help out his family, you can drop that in the box there. You can also bring it next Sunday when we get together as well. And then delighted to see Vance here with us. He had his knee replaced about a week or a couple weeks ago now. And Roxanne, God bless you. Yes, please. Dear girl, she says. So let's continue worshiping together now as we continue with the story of Jesus' birth from the book of Luke.
Luke 2:8-14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
Our spirits by the gift and here.
dispense the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. Do us the path of knowledge show, and cause us sinner ways to go. Rejoice. Tell it on the mountains, the one that we've been waiting for, the King of our salvation, born this day our Savior Christ the Lord. Emmanuel, God with us, Emmanuel, King Jesus.
This is a reading from Luke, 2nd chapter, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus.
Your name is power, your name is healing, your name.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets.
We have been, over the last several weeks leading up to this time, talking about a Christmas playlist. Those of you old enough to know that there were times when you had music, it wasn't just available on a little thing about this big. You had to create your own. You called it a playlist. We've been looking at the last several weeks at four familiar Christmas carols that have comprised our Christmas playlist that have a much deeper meaning beyond the lyrics and the melodies that we're all so familiar with, that we sing about every Christmas. We began with the first Noel, that the shepherds were the ones that received the announcement by the angels. It wasn't the high and the mighty. It wasn't King Herod. It wasn't the learned, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. They were shepherds, the lowest on the ladder. And Jesus came there for us to understand that he came for all of us, everyone, from the highest to the lowest, from the most to the least. We talked about a way in a manger. Why a manger for the Son of God, of all places? Surely he could have been born in some majestic palace befitting the Son of God, but he didn't. He was born in a stable, a dirty, smelly place, and we talked about that, among other things, that is even a representation of us. Why would Jesus live in us, a place filled with sin, dirty? But he does, because he loves us. And then we talked of joy to the world, joy that the world cannot take away, a joy that helps us to remember the great blessings that God has given us in our lives, even in the face of the most difficult challenges. And this evening, I want to complete our playlist with, and we sang it just a few minutes ago, O Come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the name that was given to Jesus. It means God with us. And we read in the book of Matthew the words of the Old Testament prophet. This is Matthew 1:23. It says, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this evening, we consider the fact that we serve a God who did not see us in our sin and therefore move further away from us to leave us to die in our sin. Instead, he came close to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And see, that's called the incarnation. Almighty God willing to take on a human form. The Apostle John wrote this in John 1:14. He said, the Word, which is the name that he used for God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. C.S. Lewis, the great author, wrote, the central miracle proclaimed by Christians is to say that God became a man. And you see, my friends, that's the good news that the angels had brought that first night. And it's the source of our joy tonight. It's joy. It's not happiness. Happiness is about the things that are going on around us. Joy is about what we have inside of us. It's the greatest of all the miracles. The fact that God loved us so much that he sent his Son. Because without that, my friends, we have no hope. We have no source of joy. And we are dependent only on what man is capable of doing without God. And I think we all sit here this evening well knowledgeable of the fact that we have seen the depravity of man's heart when we don't have God, left to our own devices. And so just for the next few minutes, as we begin to draw our service to a close this evening, I want to share with you why this Christmas miracle means to us so much that God decided not to move away, but to move closer to us through the birth of his Son in a manger. So because God is close, first, we receive his love. He's close to us, so we receive his love. When we read the Bible at any place from Genesis all the way through to the last book of Revelation, we are reading of God's love. I heard someone say that the best way to describe the Bible in its totality is it's a love story. God's love for his people. God's love for his creation. God's love through Jesus Christ. And from the coming of Jesus to the words of John at the very end of the book in Revelation, through all of the prophets of the Old Testament, the trials and the tribulations of the Israelites, the discipline that they had to receive from God because he loved them, we're reading of God's love. And it was that prideful desire from independence that separated us from God's love in the very beginning. Genesis 3, 23 to 24 says this. So the Lord God banished Adam from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way of the tree of life. My friends, I think that that is perhaps the saddest scripture verses in all of the Bible. Adam and Eve, you see, were in perfect, harmonious, physical relationship with God before sin entered in. But they decided to disobey God, to give in to the temptation of Satan, and were separated from God because of the curse of sin. But we still see God remain loving to his creation. But my friends, God is loving, but he's also just. And we should never lose sight of that. Sin carries consequence with it, always. And we read of that as well. But even in those times, God never stopped loving us. One of those prophets that spoke of Jesus to come was a man by the name of Isaiah. These are the same words that Matthew wrote. They're found in Isaiah 7:14, where he says that a child will come, a virgin, give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. You see, God's love then is and was, continues to be today, the evidence of his physical presence. And we saw with Adam and Eve, it's not just because of the presence of sin, but because of his love for us. You see, he knew that he had to make a way. When that sin, that very first sin was committed, God already had a plan in place to allow us to be able to come back into fellowship with him. It would be because of the birth of his son. And because of his great love for us, God's presence would remain even after Jesus returned to heaven. His presence is still here. It's in each and every one of us, but it's also through the one that God sent. This is in John 16, 17, or 7 to 8. Jesus speaks of this. He says, "Very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away." Jesus had told the disciples, "I'm going to be leaving you." That's obviously not what they wanted to hear, because some of them were even still convinced that Jesus had come to start a revolution, to free them from the Roman imperialism that they were living under. Still didn't understand. He said, no. He said, I need to go. But he said, if I don't go, I won't be able to send the Advocate, which was the name that was used for the Holy Spirit. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin with righteousness and judgment. Because, my friends, it's through the Holy Spirit that we maintain that closeness to God. And we know his love while also always being reminded of our need for him. The second thing we have, because God is close, is that we have light. We have light. You say, well, what does that mean? Of course we have light. You flip a switch, you have light. It's a different type of light. And it's even more important than the kind that we have indoors. Each of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell of the coming of Jesus. But John does it a little bit different. Listen to his words. John 1, 5 to 9. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming to the world. You see, John contrasts the light of Jesus Christ that would come into a dark world. Why is our world dark? Very simply, because of the presence of sin. Sin is characterized by darkness. Face it, it's easy for you, I think, to think of a time when you did something that you should not have. You did something wrong, maybe even just out and out sinful. But let me ask you this, did you do it where everyone could see you? Likely no. It's more likely that it was done in secret, in the darkness, to hide what was being done. Jesus is called the light of the world. And he even references to himself in that way, again, to the book of John, the 8th chapter, the 12th verse. It says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. To walk in light means that you must be close to it. If you're leaving from one room in your house to go to another and there's no light in that room for whatever reason, you probably would take something like a flashlight with you. But the thing is, you can't turn the light on and leave it in the other room and then walk into the dark room. The light has to be close to you. Well, Jesus wants to be close to us this evening. He wants to be close to you. And when he is, you have the light of the world that reveals sin, that allows us to be able to recognize when those things are coming so that Satan cannot have victory in your life. Finally, the last one. Because God is close to us, we can get close to him. Because God is close and gives us love, because he's close and is the true source of light, we too can become close to him and, watch this, to others. Now, why do I say that? Well, my friends, our lives are about relationships, are they not? Your first and most important relationship is with him, but you are also called to be close to the people in your life, to be close to the people around you. Jesus was asked once, what's the greatest commandment? And he answered it, recorded in Matthew 22, 37 to 40. This is what he said, the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law, all the prophets hang on these two commandments. You see, my friends, knowing the love of God means sharing that love with others. It means that you demonstrate that love. It means that you're kind to people even when they're not being kind to you. It means offering to help someone who might be struggling, even when it means that you're going to get nothing in return, or it might even be inconvenient. It means being willing to tell other people what Jesus Christ has done for you and how you are changed because of him, Emmanuel, God with us. You see, my friends, the nature, the character, and the measure of God is unfathomable to us. I know we all think man has the greatest brains, the creation, mankind, the biggest brains. We are so superior in all things. I have news for you. We cannot even begin to understand the majesty, the grandeur, and the love of God. We talk about love with God the Father as being saying, God is about love. God demonstrates love. God is the God that all things about him are love. None of those things are true except for what you understand first. God is love. He is love. He doesn't just demonstrate it. He is the essence of love. And so our minds are not capable of truly understanding that. The best way that we can do it is to just try in some way to speak in a formation that will allow us to have the barest inkling of who he is. Yet, consider this. It didn't stay there. God went to great lengths to draw close to us. He did the ultimate sacrifice for us, sent, as John 3:16 says, his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him might not die, but have everlasting life. To be with us. And you see, my friends, that's the true miracle of Christmas. That's what it means to come together at this time of year. And as I shared with you Christmas morning, if you tuned in and watched my little devotional, no, it wasn't December the 25th. It was likely sometime in the spring. It wasn't even at the year zero. It was probably between 5 and 3. All of those things, though, are not the most important. What is most important is what we understand, what we celebrate, and, watch now, what we take with us every single day of the year. You see, God's not confined to a particular season. He's not confined to a particular building or a particular day of the week. We can come together today and worship God just as effectively, just as hard, with all of our hearts on a Friday as you can on a Sunday. It's okay. Those of you that have never been to church on any day other than Sunday, it's going to be all right. You're not in trouble. But it's the reason for the season. God came down, took human form, and walked among us, lived with us. And if you remember nothing else from this entire service and our time together this evening, remember this: God loves you and is near to you. He's always with you in every circumstance and in every situation. And my friends, my prayer, our prayer, is that this fill you with the joy, the hope, and the comfort so desperately needed in these times. And may you carry that beauty of this season with you every day throughout the year, because He is Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Almighty God, we thank You for Your word. And I thank You, Father, that we can come together this evening just to be reminded of the fact that You are with us. And so, God, as we conclude our time, as we continue to sing these songs of praise to You, I pray, God, that in our hearts we will know You are always with us, regardless of what it looks like. And may we be willing every single day to take You with us, to share You with the people around us by what we do, what we say, what we don't do, what we don't say. I'm different because of Jesus Christ. It's in Your name that we pray these things. Amen.
Thank you all for coming out tonight. And I'm sure you'll know the next two songs, and we need a big choir with us tonight. Divine.